Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires for three. Yes! Golden State by three.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan McLeod on KOAL 750 AM.
A little less conversation, a little more action.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM and 750 AM. And we're going to move away from the local sports scene and talk NBA basketball. Last night, we had Game 3 of the NBA Finals, if that's what you want to call it. We've seen really a really bad game in Game 1 by the Golden State Warriors that somehow they found a way to get the victory. Game 2 was a complete blowout. Now we're looking at Game 3, another complete blowout. But Cleveland is back in the series. And joining us to talk a bit about that, we have Jabari Davis from BasketballInsiders.com. He's also the host of the Triple Threat NBA podcast. Jabari, great to get you on today. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Jordan. You know I always appreciate talking to you guys, talking to you about hoops.
Yeah, Jabari, let's dive right into it. Last night it was just a horrible, horrible showing from the Golden State Warriors. They put up only 16 points in the first quarter, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they scored 6 points in like the final 45 seconds. So Cleveland did a terrific job defensively of keeping them intact. Kyrie Irving comes out on fire early on in the game. He sets the tone. He was absolutely brilliant. In fact, he had more points than Golden State in the first quarter up until about that final minute. Just a bad, bad all-around night for the Warriors. Klay Thompson gets hurt. He has to go back to the locker room for a moment. He's one of seven from downtown. Steph Curry had a horrible first half. He was in foul trouble throughout the night. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong for Golden State last night did go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, to be honest with you, rather than even piling on the Warriors, I'm gonna go ahead and go to the flip side of it and give credit to the, you know, to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's be real about this. It was, you know, Game 2 was probably Game 2 was very important. Game 3 was an absolute must-win for them. You can't go down 0-3, you know, regardless of whether you're at home for that Game 4 or not. You know, if you have the, you know, defending champs with a three-game lead at that stage, you may as well go ahead and book your flight arrangements. So, you know, while, you know, like as you said it, you know, Klay Thompson went down with with an injury. You know, he ended up coming back later on, but was not very effective. Steph Curry was non-existent altogether in that first half. But I really chalk it up to the energy and effort that the Cleveland Cavaliers came out with. You know, you mentioned it. Kyrie Irving finally got going. I think he ended up with 30 on the night, but if I'm not mistaken, he matched Golden State in that first quarter with 16. The same 16 that they scored. It was good to see them finally get things going. That said, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they come out in Game 4, if they're able to kind of, you know, ride that same momentum, or if Golden State is able to respond with a comeback answer or a comeback game.
Now, there was no Kevin Love last night for the Cavaliers, and I talked about this a lot on the show yesterday. I said it would be terrible for people to actually believe that this Cleveland Cavalier team is better without Kevin Love. That's exactly what the talk is going to be. It has been throughout the day already, that Cleveland may be better without Kevin Love. To me, that is absolutely ridiculous. Again, they played stellar yesterday, and that had nothing to do with the absence of Kevin Love. I think if they have Kevin Love, they probably win that game by 30 last night as well. Richard Jefferson is not, and let me repeat, he is not an improvement over Kevin Love. So why the success with Love not in the game? I mean, is it just a coincidence?
I think part of it's a coincidence, but like I can't go as far as you to say it's totally ridiculous, because we did see how they came out last night. But that said, like I expected them to come out with that type of energy. And if Kevin Love's there in the game, you know, quite frankly, he's probably bombing away from deep and playing just as well, if not better. One thing I will say is this. Defensively, they are definitively better without Kevin Love on the court. That's not a knock against him. That's not saying that, that's not putting it on him, that you are placing the responsibility solely on his shoulders, because quite frankly, Kyrie Irving isn't the greatest or most consistent defender either. But you know, look, with Richard Jefferson in there, the one thing I will say is they get a different level of energy. Even though Richard Jefferson is, you know, probably five or even, you know, more years, you know, older than Kevin Love, he's still able to get around and get to spots on the court and provide certain, provide certain looks that they simply haven't been getting out of Love, especially on the defensive end. That said, I'm eager to see Kevin Love back in Game 4 so that we can kind of put to bed that narrative. While I'm certainly not a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, I have no dog in the fight, I kind of hate seeing the current trend when it comes to him and seeing the narrative take such a turn on him. So I'd like to see him at least personally have some success, regardless of whether the Cavs are able to turn it around and win Game 4 as well.
Yeah, I had this conversation with someone earlier today, and they said, "Then how do you explain it?" I said, "Well, how do you explain that Kevin Love has played with this team throughout the entire postseason, and really Cleveland at home compared to Cleveland on the road in the postseason has been night and day? I mean, you can go back to the opening round against Detroit and look at that. There are only two losses leading up to the NBA Finals this year. Well, look at all four of their losses in the NBA playoffs this year. They came on the road. So this is a team that has played drastically better at Quicken Loans.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. While some of us may have seen Kevin Love as a superstar player earlier in his career, I'm not willing to go to the full other end of the extreme and say that he's just simply a role player. But there are certain role player tendencies, especially considering quite frankly the exact role they have him in. And the reason why I state that is role players play better at home than they do on the road traditionally. We saw it would we have probably seen it from Kevin Love in this game had he played, but we saw it with Richard Jefferson. We saw it with Tristan Thompson, who also finally had a positive game, 14 points, 13 rebounds, a couple assists. Played big in the post. We saw it out of several of their players, so it's not really it's not all that much of a surprise that they played so well on their home court, especially with their backs against the walls.
Again, our guest right now is Jabari Davis from BasketballInsiders.com. Jabari, we talked about the importance of Game 3 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think we can put an equal level of importance on Game 4 based on the fact that after Game 4, it goes back to Oracle. If the Warriors get one out of the two, my thought was the series would be over in five, and I just don't see Cleveland winning at Oracle, which is a lot of the reason why I said this series was over yesterday on the show. I don't think they win on the road. With that being said, if they do not get Game 4, I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's over in five, right? If they do get it, we have a series on our hands. They've narrowed the gap best two out of three. And you and I talked about this on Triple Threat last week. If you're the Cavaliers, that's what you got to work for. You got to try to shorten this series and maybe try to get it at least to a game seven and then rely on the best player in the world, LeBron James.
Absolutely. That's really all you can do, especially when you're down 2-0. I mean, in a series in general, it's one game at a time, but specifically when you fall into a two-game deficit, you have to literally, it's not just one game at a time, it's one half at a time, one quarter at a time, one possession at a time. So if you're the Cavaliers, while it's not necessarily over if you don't win Game 4, it's pretty much over. You have to extend this series. You have to find a way to win Game 4. Put the pressure back on Golden State to have to win at Oracle. I'm in agreement with you. I don't necessarily trust the Cavs going up to Oracle and getting a win, especially if they were to lose Game 4 at home. If you're the Cavs, just like in Game 3, this is an absolute must win.
Let's talk about Steph Curry here for a moment. Here's your back-to-back MVP. He was averaging 30 points a game in the regular season. That number is down to about 24 here in the postseason. Against Cleveland, he hasn't necessarily been great again. He wasn't that great in the NBA Finals last year, and this year he's been very underwhelming as well. We talk about last night's performance. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he was in foul trouble pretty much throughout the game. But up until that third quarter, Jabari, he really just did not look like himself. What's going on with Steph Curry? Is this Cleveland's doing? Are they that good defensively? Do they find something on Steph Curry? Or is this guy just, once again, underwhelming in the NBA Finals? Is this a trend that we may see with his career? I don't know.
I don't necessarily want to say it's a trend that we're going to see. And believe me, I didn't grow up a fan of the Golden State Warriors, so it's not like I'm just taking up for him simply to take up for him. But I think Steph is going to be fine. You mentioned it. He has foul trouble in the last game. Yes, he's been slowed. Last year in the postseason, or excuse me, in the finals. Although I will point out, if I'm not mistaken, he still averaged, even though he didn't win the MVP of the finals last year. Obviously, that went to Andre Iguodala. He still averaged something like 23 points. 6-5. You know, so like I only throw that out there, you know, for perspective. That said, this particular finals, I kind of chalk it up to kind of where you were alluding. I think it's more of Cleveland, limiting his effectiveness and simply looking to take away, take something away. And if you're going up against a team that's as stacked and as solid as the Golden State Warriors, it's not necessarily the worst of ideas to try to, kind of chop the head off. While Draymond Green is obviously fantastic and Klay Thompson's obviously great and so on and so forth down the road, one thing that OKC showed us was that whether it was a matter of Steph not being 100% healthy or simply the job that they were doing on him, if you can limit his effectiveness, it severely impacts the rest of those guys. And that's understandable because, as you mentioned, he's the two-time MVP and obviously the unanimous MVP this season.
Yeah, it's definitely been strange to see Steph Curry kind of struggle here over the last three games to the extent that he has. He was not good in game one, although my pick to win the NBA Finals MVP this year was Klay Thompson, and Jabari, he has not been very good in the finals either.
He hasn't, but again, it's one thing to be in postseason basketball. It's another thing to be in the finals. There's nothing that the Warriors can run that teams haven't seen and aren't able to, specifically game plan for. Now, this is not making excuses for these guys, because, look, if you're Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, even though the other guys have been getting it done for you, you've got to find a way to have at least a game or two in these finals. You mentioned game four. If there were ever a game where the Warriors could use, one of their, I don't want to say vintage games, but simply even an average night from both of them, we've seen that, their average is very good, is obviously very good to great, in itself, it would be in game four. So again, not to make excuses for them, but I think it's more a matter of, the opposing defense simply doing whatever they can to limit the things that Golden State does well. And obviously the things that they do best is having Steph Curry be, the unanimous MVP and having Klay Thompson do the things that he's done.
Here's a tough question, and we'll end with this. I had someone ask me, who's your finals MVP pick now that we're three games into the finals? And I said, I really don't know. If it has to go to the winning team, I guess I'd give my vote to Draymond. But I think LeBron has probably been the best player in the series.
LeBron has been the best player in the series from a numbers perspective, but I think last night's game where the entire team of the entire Golden State roster struggled, I still think Draymond Green has probably been the best player in the series. I know the numbers don't necessarily, but think about it. Even in an off game last night, he's still a guy that gave you 6 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, a block. He's still a guy that's doing pretty much everything for the Warriors. I think if ultimately the Cleveland's able to come back and win this, obviously the MVP is going to be LeBron James. But if Golden State wins it and Draymond continues to play the way that he's played, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson don't necessarily have that breakout game, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Draymond Green get it.
Jabari Davis, BasketballInsiders.com. Jabari, I know you were up and at it early, early this morning for some content for Basketball Insiders. Go ahead and tell the listeners where they can find more Jabari Davis.
Again, I appreciate the opportunity, Jordan. It truly is a pleasure to always talk basketball with you. You can find me on Twitter if you do that sort of thing at Jabari Davis NBA. And as Jordan mentioned, on BasketballInsiders.com, as well as the weekly Triple Threat podcast.
Jabari, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, and I know we'll talk again with you next week.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks.
All right, we're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.